Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today, coming to you from Kenya today, and this is pre-recorded. We're actually in Tanzania, but the message is coming from Kenya, and we thank the Lord for the crusade we're in, and I can't give you an update right now, but I'll give you an update next week when I get back to Kenya, and so this is going to be an exciting opportunity for us here in Tanzania. We're going to be with Bonnie Mwetegi and Martha Baraka, two of the great worship leaders in East Africa. And so it's a great opportunity for us to bring souls into the kingdom and to see people get healed and delivered and all of the good things the Lord wants to do in Tanzania. And we also ask for your prayers for the children's home. We have 24 children in the children's home at this time, and a great church going there in Makunda, about 70 to 85 adults coming every week to the church. And so we're very blessed to have all of that going here in Kenya. And so we ask for your prayers and your support for those projects here in Africa. Well, we've been talking about prayer. And if you were with us last week, we talked about the prayer of an Old Testament character named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was in captivity over in Babylon with the other children of Israel, the children of Judah and Benjamin. He was taken captive by the Babylonians when Jerusalem was razed and sacked. And so he had a prayer, he had a conviction in his heart, he had a desire in his heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which were torn down, the gates were burned, Jerusalem was in a sad state of affairs, and God put it on his heart to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. Well, there was just one problem. Nehemiah had no resources. He had no provision. He was a cupbearer to the king. He had a place and a place of favor beside the king of Babylon, King Artaxerxes. And so God used Nehemiah. He placed him in that position of favor and used him to gain favor, and Nehemiah was able then to get provision and passage to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of that city. Well, today we're going to be looking at the book of Jonah, and specifically in chapter 2 in the book of Jonah, we have the prayer of Jonah. And just to give you a little preview of what was going on with Jonah, Jonah was called by the Lord to go preach to the people in Nineveh, which was over in the east, probably in Persia somewhere. And so Jonah was given that call and that command by the Lord to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. But there was one problem for Jonah, and that is that Nineveh had a reputation of being a very wicked city, that the people there were very wicked and did not have any relationship. They were what you would call pagans, what we would call today pagans. They had no relationship with the Lord God, the Father of Jesus Christ, with Yahweh. They had a relationship, I'm sure, with many idols. That's the way it was in that day and age. They had many idols in their religion and worshiped the idols. And so Jonah didn't want any part of going to preach to those people. And so he went the other direction in rebellion to the Lord. He went the other direction, the opposite way that God called him to go. And he got on a ship and he was headed for Tarshish. And the great storm came and thrashed that ship around in the ocean. And eventually the other sailors came because they knew Jonah was a Hebrew boy. And he had told them he was running from God. And so they came to him and they said, Jonah, we know that you're the cause of this storm, and so we're going to throw you over, and we're going to put you out into the sea, and hope the sea will calm down once you get off the ship. And that's a paraphrase of chapter 1. And so these sailors, they threw Jonah off the boat, and he is now out in the ocean. And in chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. So the Lord had already prepared for this eventuality that Jonah was going to be thrown off the boat and that he would not have safe passage to Tarshish. God had prepared this fish to swallow him up, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Well, the significance of 3 days and three nights is highlighted in the New Testament. When Jesus is talking to the Pharisees said, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." This is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. And in verse 39, Jesus answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And so Jesus referred to Jonah and to his life, and Jesus said the only sign you're going to get is that the sign of Jonah will be given to you, the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then he says in verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." And so Jesus said that the sign that will be given to this generation, or the generation that he was speaking to, was the sign of Jonah, which is that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and Jesus was giving them a clue about the fact that he would be spending 3 days and three nights in the tomb, in the belly of the earth. He would be spending 3 days and three nights there, just as Jonah spent that much time in the fish that God had appointed. And so you see that really this story of Jonah and the fish, or and the whale, this story is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ and Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. And besides being a teaching for us that Jonah repented of his rebellion, repented of his going the other way against God's command, besides the teaching of that, this story has greater implications in that it is a sign of Jesus Christ in the belly of the earth when he is 3 days and three nights in the tomb after his crucifixion on the cross. Well, let's look at chapter 2 here in the book of Jonah. And when Jonah is in the belly of the fish now, it says Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And so this is what I want to highlight today, is the prayer of Jonah. This prayer I would call a prayer of salvation. I would also call it a prayer of desperation. Sometimes when you get in a situation, and specifically I would say for those of you who are not saved, who don't know for sure if you're saved, you don't know for sure if Jesus were to come back tonight or if your life were to end tonight. And I'm certainly not predicting or prophesying doom over anybody. I hope everybody listening survives tonight and goes for many more days and years. But if by chance your life were to end tonight, do you know for sure that you would be saved? Do you know for sure that you would be ushered in through the gates of all eternity, through the gates of heaven for all eternity? Do you know for sure that you would be residing the rest of your eternal life with Jesus Christ and the angels and all of your ancestors that have gone before you? Do you know for sure that's where you would be if your life were to end tonight? And so this prayer of Jonah is a prayer of salvation. It is a prayer of desperation, because Jonah was in a desperate place. He was in a place of no return, and he cried out to the Lord. It says in verse 2, "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol," or out of the belly of hell. Sheol was the Old Testament name for hell. "Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." Well, beloved, Jonah was in a place of affliction. He had been rebellious to the Lord. He knew He had been rebellious to the Lord. He didn't have any doubt about why the sailors threw him off the boat. He didn't have any doubt about why the storm was out on the ocean there when he was running from the Lord. He knew with certainty that he was being punished, that God was bringing all this calamity, you might say, or all these tribulations into his journey. God was bringing that or allowing it to happen so that Jonah would turn from going to Tarshish and he would turn back to his calling and turn back and go where the Lord wanted him to go. Well, beloved, that's a picture of many of us in our life. That's a picture of myself. Even I had a rebellious period of time for some seasons in my life. It was prophesied over me when I was in high school that I would be a good preacher, and I really didn't take that prophecy very seriously. I certainly didn't pray much about it or give it a second thought. I wanted to go to university and be an athlete and get a degree. And so I ran from the Lord just like Jonah did, and that's the story of many, many people in their life. They have a point in time when they maybe are spoken over by somebody who speaks a prophetic word over them, or maybe they know innately in their heart because they have a desire to serve the Lord and seek the Lord and do some great things for the kingdom of God. And yet, because of culture, because of the influence of family, friends, tradition in their family, tradition in their culture, they go the other way and they run from what God has called them to do. And so this is a story of many people's lives. Jonah was in a place of affliction because God said, I'm going to stop you and I'm going to send you back to Nineveh, and I'm going to send you back there because this is what I want you to do. This is the place I have called you to go. And so Jonah is down in the belly of Sheol, down in the belly of hell, and he says, Lord, you have heard my voice. Well, I've had discussions with people over this chapter and over this book of Jonah, but I tell you today, Jonah was dead. He was dead just as Jesus Christ was dead when he laid in a tomb. Remember, we said this book is a shadow and a type of Jesus Christ in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And so Jonah is dead. He is in the belly of the whale, not only in the belly of the whale, but his spirit is in Sheol. It is down in hell because he has rebelled against the Lord and he has run from the Lord's calling. And so God has let him see Sheol, let him see the depths of the earth where his spirit will reside for all eternity if he does not turn back to the Lord. All right, verse 3. He said, for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. And so Jonah is looking back towards God. He's looking back. He's looking to the holy temple because he knows that is his place of salvation. He knows that is where he can receive salvation. He knows that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of loving kindness, a God of grace. And he knows that he will find favor, and he will find favor with God, and he will find truth in God. And so he says, I look back to your holy temple, and the waters surrounded me, even to my soul, he says in verse 5. The deep closed over me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Can't you just see Jonah with the seaweed wrapped around his head as he's in the belly of this whale? And it's a place of death. It's a place of destruction. Whales can't stay underwater for more than just a few minutes. And so as this whale dived down to the depths of the sea, it says the water surrounded him, even to his soul. And the deep closed around him. And it says he went down to the moorings of the mountains. Well, that tells you also that Jonah was dead. He went down to the moorings of the mountains, clear to the bottom of the ocean, the place of the springs where the water came up in the flood of Noah. And he says it went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You have brought my life up from the pit of hell, from the pit of Sheol. And so Jonah was thankful that he had cried out to the Lord, that he had looked to the Lord's temple, and the Lord rescued him. He brought his life up from the pit. And beloved, that also is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus was in the tomb. His body was laying in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, but he was in the spirit. He went down into Sheol, and he went down there to release the captives, to release captivity and take captivity captive and lead the Old Testament saints who were trapped and held captive in Sheol. He led those Old Testament saints out of Sheol, and he led them because it tells us in Ephesians 4, 8 to 11, that he who ascended is also he who descended into the lower parts of the earth, and he led captivity captive. And so he led those people out of the Old Testament place of holding, out of that place, Abraham's bosom, and he led them out, and he led them to heaven. And it says at that time he distributed gifts to men, or he gave gifts to men. And those gifts were the gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And at that time, the church, the New Testament church, the body of Christ, was distributed with gifts. The New Testament church was blessed and started, kick-started, you might say, and they were started with these gifts so that the structure and the pillars of the church were established by the gifts that Jesus Christ distributed. Well, Jonah is coming up out of the pit of hell. He says, you have brought up my life from the pit. And verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And those who regard worthless idols, verse 8, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, or forsake their own truth and their own loving kindness. And verse 9, and this is the capper here in this scripture of the prayer of Jonah. He says, I will sacrifice to you. He's talking to the Lord here. I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And so this is why I call this a salvation prayer. Jonah is a rebellious person, which is a picture of all of us. But he says in the end, salvation is of the Lord. I'm going to make my sacrifice to you. And I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. I'm going to rejoice, and I will pay what I have vowed. And I don't know exactly what he has vowed other than to say he would serve the Lord with thanksgiving. Maybe that's his vow, that he will serve the Lord with thanksgiving. But I'm sure some of you out there listening to me today, you have vowed things to the Lord. You said, I'm going to go to church starting next Sunday. I'm going to go to church, or maybe even starting this Sunday, I'm going to go to church. And so I want you to keep that vow. Some of you, years ago, you made a vow that you were going to pursue the Lord. You were going to study your Bible. You were going to go to church. You were going to get in a Bible study with a group of people and try to make yourself a better person. And maybe you've gotten sidetracked and waylaid by addictions or by pornography or alcohol or whatever. I say to you today, keep your vows to the Lord. Make your vows, make your sacrifices, do it with thanksgiving, do it with rejoicing, do what you have promised the Lord you're going to do, and salvation is of the Lord. Well, even beyond making vows to the Lord and rejoicing and making sacrifices, the Lord wants your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and when God calls you to do something, when God prompts you to do something, learn to be obedient to the Lord. Learn to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to go do what you want me to do. When God gave me a dream back in 2010, he told me he wanted me to come to Africa to preach. I didn't know anybody in Africa, had no desire to come here. Most of the time when Mzungas or Americans are sent to Africa or shown that they can come to Africa, they really don't get too excited about it. Africa's a hard place to live for people who are used to luxury and used to easy things. It's a hard place to live here. The food is challenging, the water is challenging, the hygiene is challenging, the diseases and sickness is challenging, and there's a lot of violence and a lot of crazy people here. But when God opened up the door for me to come, I said, yes, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I will be obedient. And if you're calling me to Africa, I will be obedient to come to Africa. And beloved, for you today, be obedient to the call of the Lord on your life. Be obedient to what he wants you to do. And if you have never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your walk with the Lord and your obedience to the Lord starts with your confession. It starts with saying, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to make you my Savior. Jesus has already done the work. He died on the cross for you. He shed his precious blood that you could know him for all eternity, and even more than that, that all your sins can be washed away. Jesus' blood will wash all your sins away, and he will cleanse you. He will give you a clear conscience, and you can stand before God with a clear conscience and know that your sins are washed away. Not only that, your sins are forgiven and your sins are forgotten as far as the east is from the west. Well, this is a prayer of salvation because Jonah recognizes that in the end, it is God who brought him up from the pit of hell. And beloved, it is God that is going to bring you up from the pit of hell. It is God that has brought me up from the pit of hell. And he set my feet on a firm foundation. He can set your feet on a firm foundation. And he can establish in you a righteous man, a righteous woman, not weighed down by addictions, not weighed down by all kinds of demonic activity and demonic behavior. He can set you free from anything that has happened in your family. He can set you free from generation curses that have been handed down to you by people in your family who weren't walking with the Lord. He can set you free, and he can put your feet on a firm foundation, and you can learn to serve the Lord. You can learn to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will know with certainty that Jesus is your Savior, and you will know that you are saved. Well, verse 10, the last verse in this chapter, after Jonah makes his confession and says, I believe, Lord, that you are salvation, after Jonah makes that confession, it says, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Well, Jonah's body then was given back life, just like Jesus rose from the dead. Jonah also rose from the dead. And you can read the rest of this book of Jonah, chapter 3 and 4. It's very interesting because God called Jonah a second time, arise and go to Nineveh. And this time, Jonah was obedient to the Lord. He arose, he went to Nineveh, he preached a revival or a crusade over there. He said, yet 40 days and repent. And so he proclaimed repentance to the people of Nineveh, and the whole city, even the animals, fasted and prayed, and the whole city got saved. The whole city, because of the preaching and the obedience of Jonah, the whole city got saved. And that is the way the story ends out. Jonah was still a bit of a rebel, even though he went to Nineveh. You can read about that yourself. I'm not going to preach on the whole book of Jonah at this time. But he was still, even in his obedience, he still had a little rebel streak in him. And that's pretty typical of human beings. But anyway, Nineveh got saved at that point in time because of the efforts of Jonah. And God wouldn't let him go. And beloved, God is not going to let you go. There are some people out there today. You need to seek the Lord. You need to get down on your knees and repent and ask the Lord to forgive you. And then you need to keep your vow. You need to go to a church and get involved in that church. Find some men that you can pray with, or find some women that you can pray with. and have Bible studies with, and follow up your salvation confession with immersion baptism, and you will be saved. You will be on your walk. You will be on your way to Nineveh, wherever God appoints you, wherever God sends you to preach. You can be on your way, just as he sent Jonah to Nineveh, and a great victory was then proclaimed. Well, beloved, I hope you have gotten something from this message. It's a great message of salvation. It's a great message of how the Lord never gives up on us, and I know he's not going to give up on you. And if you'll be obedient to him, you will see the glory of God. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank the Lord for that. You can be a part of supporting this ministry. You can be a part of helping to support the Crusades here in Africa and the Children's Home and the other projects we have and keeping this radio broadcast on the air. All you have to do is sit down, write us out a note, let us know you're listening, let us know you want to make a contribution. You can do it through PayPal, you can do it through writing a check and sending it to our contact information. We have a website with PayPal on their website, and so you can easily help to support this ministry, and God will bless you for it. He'll bless us, he'll bless you, and we can move the kingdom forward here in Africa because of your efforts. Thank you again for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a minute. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.